Hey, all you rad dads out there.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Brett here, bringing you another episode of the Rad Dads Show, the parenting podcast, where we ask inspiring dads the question, what does it mean to be a rad dad? Today, we're bringing back the Hometown Hero series on the show, where we feature a rad dad from right here in Edmonton, and we highlight what they're doing for their community, their family, and of course, their kids. Scott McCord is a radio host with 100.3 The Bear, and you probably know him as one of the voices from Yukon and McCord, which is on weekday mornings. McCord is a dad to his 7-year-old son, Brendan, and he stopped by the show to talk with Christian about how he applies a punk ethos to his parenting. And they went on to discuss gatekeeping when it comes to music and how to avoid that with our kids. They also talked about the pervasive influencer culture and how our kids are so exposed to that these days. And they discussed censorship and holding things back from our kids, which McCord and Christian both agreed they try not to do. But still, McCord is saving watching Evil Dead with his son until he's just a bit older. Catch Yukon and McCord weekday mornings on 100.3 The Bear in Edmonton. And let's get to know McCord a little bit better. Let's get into this episode. Here's Scott McCord of 100.3 The Bear on the Rad Dads Show.
Welcome to the Rad Dads Show. Who are you?
My name is Scott McCord. I go on air by McCord at Edmonton's Best Rock, 100.3 The Bear. I am on the morning show. That is all secondary to my best gig, which is husband to my beautiful wife, Crystal, and of course, father to my son, Brendan, who is 7 years old and is the absolute still point of my turning world. So, yeah. That's who I am.
There you go. I love it. It's a simplistic life, maybe. Do you consider yourself a rad dad?
I try to be. I don't know. I think I am. I consider myself a rad dad in the way that my dad didn't have a podcast like this to talk with other dads. I think it's something that's really sort of been emblematic in our generation that we can have these conversations. I think that in itself is pretty rad. I mean, yeah, it's great to be the dad who introduces the New York Dolls to his kid, but it's also really, really cool to be the dad who talks about being a dad with other dads. I think that's, you know, there's that equal part between, it's almost the art and commerce balance, right? Where you've got to have that that emotional groundwork to do all the other fun stuff, which is, here's why the Ramones say 1, 2, 3, 4 before every song, right? Like that kind of thing. There's a lot to do before you get to that point. And I think one of the things is this is a starting point, conversations like this that we're having right now. So that's what makes it rad, to be perfectly honest with you.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. And I can't think that's kind of the hope with the show, is just kind of give some perspective. At least when I started it a number of years ago, it was a little bit selfish on my part in the sense that I wanted to talk to punk dads that I kind of looked up to. And it was an easy way to kind of get them, to agree to kind of talk to me. And it's a little bit out of the norm. It's a bit of a niche in the fact that we talk about that parenting piece and try to get their perspective, and we're not really an advice show, but there's a little bit of advice that kind of comes along the way. So what makes you a rad dad? Like, what are some traits that make a dad rad?
You know, I want to go back to something that you were saying there a couple minutes ago, because it just that really hit me in that it's this punk thing, and especially as somebody who's Irish, and you know, like not Irish Catholic upbringing per se, but like that's, you know, in the old country, that's what it was. There's that whole Irish thing about like, I'm never going to be like me dad. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, maybe I fell into a little bit of that stereotype. I like whiskey too. But no, like that Irish punk stereotype of like, I'm not going to be like the old man. And then that sort of tied into me becoming a father was that I had all these anxieties before I became a dad, where it was, what part of me is going to be the father here, because I know the selfish part of me who knows how to take care of me. I know the part of me who knows how to take care of my beautiful wife. Do I know how to take care of another human being? And it goes back to the fact that, like, my own fathers and their own ability to be present at certain times and maybe not so much at other times, I didn't really feel like I had that knowledge hardwired into me. So I think part of what's being a rad dad to me is that self-awareness to know that we're not always going to get it right. It goes a hell of a lot more beyond just showing up and being there. You know, it's teaching the young men and women in our lives, our kids, to, you know, to be strong and brave and resilient and to be kind and to have empathy and to understand stories from other perspectives and walk a mile in someone else's shoes, that kind of thing. I think to me, that's what makes a rad dad. And that's also, you know, if we're going to talk about punk, I think that was sort of what, you know, there was the emotional bloodletting of like so many of these punk bands that I loved when I was a kid, where, you know, you had like a NoFX on one end of things, but then you'd hear all this like Midwest emo punk where these people were absolutely just like, you know, blood, sweat, and tears on these records that were selling no copies. How does this get to me as a guy in Vancouver? You know, that emotional maturity was something that struck me and struck a chord within me. And I think that emotional maturity that we sort of developed as a kid through the music that we listened to, we're now passing that on to our children, saying, hey, here's a perfectly okay thing to do: cry, or to say, I don't know, or to not have the answer to everything. That's perfectly all right. Go try and find the answer. Get those tears out, you know? Admit to your shortcomings and work on being better at them. And that's you know, that's the influence of the music that I listened to growing up certainly got me to that point. And that's what I think being a rad dad is all about, to be perfectly frank, is that emotional awareness. And then you know, a lot of that starts with the art that you consume, I think.
I wholeheartedly agree. You know, like I'm always hesitant sometimes to throw that word punk rock or punk around, just because
Sure.
of just the various connotations that it kind of conjures up with people. You know, you have like on one end where you have, you know, bands, you know, I can't think of, you know, maybe Exploited, where it's like, you know, fuck the system or smash the system, and it's like old earlier Sex Pistols, like destroy, you know, bring down this sort of thing. It didn't really resonate with me, although I like those bands for sure. The bands that kind of changed me were like things like MDC, Crass, and Bad Religion. The fact that the lead singer of a band has a PhD in evolutionary biology, I
Right.
saw that as more of a hero of mine than say someone like Johnny Rotten, who you know. And so I guess where I'm going with that is that I agree with you in the fact that the art that we can kind of consume, and punk has taught me a lot in terms of being a dad, which for some people it may sound silly, but when you didn't have parents that were really around or a father that wasn't really around, I don't know how silly that is.
I don't think that's silly at all. I think you're absolutely shaped positively and negatively by what you consume. And I think good art can have a negative effect on you. Good art can make you feel really terrible. Good art can make you feel horrible emotions that you never want to feel again. It's okay to watch a movie that emotionally shatters you and you go, yeah, I don't think we'll be sitting through that again, right? That's still really good art. Music can be the same way, and it can, you know, and not in the way that you're reaching to turn it off because you go, oh, this is completely hollow. It says nothing to me. It can be something where maybe you have you know, everyone's got that breakup song or something like that, right? But yeah, no, to me, like, I think, you know, in the broader term of punk too, and this is also something where, like, as you have a child and they sort of stretch out and they're thinking about, you know, music and what does that mean to me, and where do I stand in all of this? And like, my son is, you know, around a ton of music. We are constantly playing music. I, you know, big record collection, that kind of thing. And he's, you know, I've very much gone out of my way to I want you to, you know, I want you to know top 40 pop, but I also want you to know, let's cast the net as wide as humanly possible here, right? I think that the broader definition of punk is what these kids are understanding now a little bit more, where you and I grew up in an era where there was these sort of like these safeguards and vanguards, and you had to click through a certain turnstile before you could be this amount of punk, like that kind of thing. Certainly that gatekeeping is not here for younger kids, which I think is fantastic, because, you know, you can take a band, you know, you mentioned like Crass or Bad Religion, that kind of thing. I mean, at the same time, you know, what's to say a band like Jawbreaker, who are more emotionally in tune, perhaps, as opposed to like politically in tune with what their songwriting is, who's to say that that's more or less punk than something else, right? Like, it's the idea of the DIY. It's the idea of it coming from the heart, of it coming from your basement, of it not being this, you know, grand gesture with eyeliner and silly, and it's all very grassroots, right? So I think the cool thing too is that the kids that we're raising, you and I, don't really have that, well, if it's the Warped Tour, is it really punk thing that was so gatekeepy when we were younger, right? And that's fantastic. That is wonderful for them. Wonderful.
Agree. And like, and so well, there's so many things that you could kind of unpack there. And I think that's kind of what, you know, that ethos has kind of provided me with what I do with the Rad Dad stuff. You know, it's really DIY. We've had some, you know, some would say large, you know, big popular guests on our show. And it's just like, people are asked, well, how do you get these guests? So I'm just ask them.
100%.
I just email and ask them. And so I've always appreciated that DIY stuff for sure. So is that like, are those lessons that you inherently teach your kid, or is it just, do you have those discussions? I don't know. He's pretty young now, but
yeah, he's seven. I think he, like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't act like a gatekeepy dick sometimes, because we all do. And that's how it is with the big eye roller, you know, for the new Chapel Roan or whatever, like that kind of thing. I think for him and I, the conversations that we've had about, you know, not just music, but art or anything, is that as long as it's coming from in here, that's what really matters here, right? And as long as it's coming from somewhere that's a place of, you know, not necessarily, it's difficult. It's difficult to separate that for a kid, because they have this idea that, you know, hardwired into them, whether they like it or not at this age, like success is defined by popularity, right? Like, he watches all these guys on YouTube who are Mr. Beast or whatever, who are, oh man, we need to subscribe, and we got to like and subscribe, and we got to get the 50,000 followers and that kind of thing. And like, the funny thing about that is that A, I don't really understand a lot of that, and B, I can't quite square it away to myself, so I don't know how to square it away to him, where I'm just saying, as long as you're making something that is real and authentic, that's all that really matters. And I think it's the best lesson I can impart with him, because going back to all these guys who he watches on YouTube and whatnot, kids these days are developing in real time a filter to understand that sometimes what I'm seeing is not real. And it's that's, you know, where that comes from with me is my love of professional wrestling, where my son has to understand John Cena is not beating up that guy. The character John Cena plays is beating up that guy. And so you have to understand that when you're watching these YouTube videos. I'm like, can you believe this, Dad? They filled that guy's house with, I don't know, popcorn packing peanuts and that kind of thing. And, oh, they made $1 million. And I'm going like, but did they really? What you're watching right now is this, you know, you've got to have that bullshit detector, for lack of a better term. And kids are developing that now, because we're growing up in this, they're growing up in this era of like a completely new media that, I'm sorry, so much of like YouTubing and esports and a lot of TikTok and influencer, that kind of celebrity, is like completely passed me by, and I'm totally fine with that. And I don't know, again, I don't know how to square it to myself. So I'm trying my best to square it away to him by simply saying, as long as what you believe, as long as what you're making, you believe in, then that's okay.
No, I get that. I'm a school teacher, and so I've kind of seen this kind of evolution of, well, you know, I started teaching when cell phones were not a thing yet.
Sure.
And so I've seen what it's kind of become, and in terms of that and those discussions in the classroom, right? To, you know, especially now, you know, AI obviously is a big thing, and dealing with ChatGPT and students using it. I'm all about the technology. I'm not a TikTok guy by any means,
right? Yeah,
like that. But you know, I've, you know, for example, this past year, you know, I've encouraged students to use ChatGPT to create their resume or a cover letter, and how they could kind of use that technology for good, I guess.
Right.
But definitely a challenge. You know, I have a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old, so, you know, I'm still in the midst of all those things that you're kind of talking about. That being said, like, are you a censor at all? Do you censor? Are you someone that really pays close attention to what your kid is consuming, or?
I pay close attention, but at the same time, I don't put up too many. He has begged me. My son, my beautiful son, has begged me to watch Evil Dead 2 more times than I can count. One night I had a rare Monday off, and he had to go to school on Sunday. So he went upstairs to go have a bath before, you know, his Sunday night bath. And I had Evil Dead 2 on, and he came downstairs, and he's just agape at the, in front of the TV. And I'm like, hey, and this is only like 6 months ago. And he's like, what are you watching? What is this movie? He has a chainsaw for a hand. Like, yeah, man, it's Evil Dead 2. And he like, is this a good movie? And what am I going to say? No, like, buddy, it's, yes, it's Evil Dead 2. Like, it's the craziest film. It's so good. Well, when could we? And then, like, my wife was like, you better not be watching Evil Dead 2 down there from upstairs. Okay, that's cool. Like, whatever. But, like, yeah, here's the thing. He's aware of a lot of pop culture that is admittedly very over his head, and that maybe he's not emotionally ready for yet. But I think it makes it easier to say, I don't know if you should watch Evil Dead 2 yet. If you like, no, it's forbidden. We mustn't watch Evil Dead 2. No, I'm here to tell you, Evil Dead 2 is fucking rad. And when you are 12, it is going to blow your mind. So like 4 or 5 more years, dude. And then I swear to God, we'll make popcorn. It'll be the best night ever. Like that kind of thing. Right. So there is a lot of stuff where, I mean, I'm hands-on in as much that I'd like to know what he's consuming, but I'm also hands-off enough to know that I trust him in terms of like making the right decisions. And so far he's been pretty good with that, where he's, I don't want to have any secrets. I don't want it to be like with my parents where I'm, you know, I'm sneaking in Nightmare on Elm Street 4 or that kind of deal. Right. He and I share a lot of, one of the things that I didn't have to introduce him to in pop culture that he found, he was about 3 years old, and he found a box of my old Godzilla Blu-rays down in our basement. And he said to my wife, he's like, what's this? And she goes, you better go ask dad. And so this poor little guy humps this like box stair by stair up from the basement where I currently am right now. And I remember he pulled out a Godzilla Final Wars Blu-ray, which has got like, it's one of the like big battle ones. It's got like 9 characters on the front of the DVD. And he's like, what is this? Like, what, tell me what this is. And I was like, that's Godzilla. And he's Cole's notes, this gigantic radioactive dinosaur who comes out of the sea to do battle with other gigantic monsters, often in Japan. Like, what an elevator pitch for a 3. Really? Yeah, okay. And so he got into it. It was one of those things that he sort of stumbled backwards into because we had it around the house, and he was, I mean, by the time he turned 5, he was over it because he'd seen them all. Ah, that's just something I used to be into. Eh, Godzilla, like that kind of thing, right? So, it's really wonderful to watch that happen. And I believe those moments kind of come organically from not the hover around his pop culture interests, right? Just let it happen. He'll make good decisions. And he did.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a very similar philosophy that I have. Again, being a teacher and this past year assistant principal, I've kind of seen the,
Wow.
the influence of the, social media and the bullying that sort of happens. And I kind of reflect and walk away most days and be like, yeah, my son's not like that. Like, I'm an assistant principal at a junior high school, and he's in junior high, and so it's just interesting. You mentioned the idea of trust, and I have a lot of trust in my son, and I'm just always kind of curious, is that son? But it's not like I had these conversations with him about being trustworthy. It's just that it just kind of happened. I like the word you use, organically and naturally. And so I'm just wondering what is it? Is it just kind of the nuance? Is it just a personality thing that you have maybe with your kids, or?
We have a really good rapport, my son and I, and I'm quite proud of the fact that the things that we can talk to each other about at this age. And I'm sure that might change over time, given how, as a child gets older, they naturally get a little bit more private and you don't know as much about them. But at the same time, I'd also like him to know that I'm here, I'm available when you are ready to talk. You can always talk to me about whatever it is that you want to. He's a lot like me in that he does love to communicate. I mean, obviously, I bullshit for a living, right? I think the cool thing that we do talk about is that I could never have a conversation with my mom when I was his age and I love Godzilla myself. My conversation with my mom was, "Hey, do you remember that Asian supermarket that we went to that had VHS tapes last week?" "Yes." "Is there any way you can drive me there on the weekend so I can see if I can find giant monsters all at attack?" And she again, "Oh, you and your Godzilla," and this is the 80s, like there is no internet. You saw a VHS tape on the wall at an Asian supermarket. I grew up in Vancouver, so I had, tons of, which was great that, anime being around as a kid, and it just sort of being like a second nature thing. All these places that I could go to that would have these, shelves and shelves and shelves of films that were not from Hollywood. This is not, it's not the Breakfast Club and like Indiana Jones. It's all these like amazing looking Hong Kong action movies or Japanese monster movies. Like, I want to see that. That looks so cool. If I brought that up with my mom, it was sort of like a dismissive hand wave. Whereas with my son, I mean, even if it's stuff that I'm not crazy into Pokemon, but he got a rare card this weekend when he opened up a pack. And I was like, "Tell me all about it, dude. I want to know about your joy. I want to know about your happy, your up, your down, that kind of thing." So I think a lot of it starts in just, taking interest in what they're doing. And it's fun. It's fun to know what he's into and what he's reading. He's a voracious reader, which is awesome. I love that he reads a lot. And showing that interest and saying, "Yeah, tell me all about that Pokemon, man. Like, I might forget about it tomorrow, but I want to know."
That's
And
sweet.
it's funny too, because like as we're having this conversation, I also realize that like a lot of what we're talking about navigating from a parental aspect, I mean, certainly for what you do as a job, because you're a teacher, so you are working directly with children, right? But I'm saying this out loud, and I'm talking about my son and his development as a human being, as my development as a father. Virtually everything that we've talked about thus far applies to what I do for work, because it used to be, "Are you good on the radio?" "Yes." "Okay, you can be on the radio." Now it's, "Are you good on the radio? Do you have a social media presence? What type of TikToks? What's your, like, I, it's my industry has changed so much over the 25, 30 years that I've been doing this for a living, that like it almost tempers you for parenthood, right? Because you have to, when you are working in that in a mixed media milieu, you have to be on your toes and ready for it. And that's kind of parenthood, man. It's being ready for them to come home and be like, "Oh, and by the way, I want to get a phone and I want to be on TikTok." And you walk into work and one morning they're going to be like, well, do you make Instagram videos? Now you do if you want to keep your job, right? So I'm learning it. I'm learning at the same clip that he is, to be perfectly frank. Sometimes it's a jungle out there, man.
Yeah, that's one of the things you kind of alluded to and talked about is, well, that I get joy out of being a parent, just sharing the kind of those loves. I don't want my son to be a clone of me, obviously, or my sons, but I want them to find things that they're passionate about, and I find my job is to kind of share my passions with them. And so that's why I take my son's probably been to almost 100 concerts. A lot of my friends playing bands and stuff, so he's part of that world. Like I mentioned, Dad Religion. I have him sing a couple Black Flag songs with at our shows and stuff like that. And to me, that's
Now I
really
gotta know, what songs does he do? What songs?
Nervous Breakdown.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll have to send you a link. Yeah, that's
I
kind
would
of
love to see that.
his hits. It's super cool. And he talked about he's big into hockey, so he's been asking me for years to watch Slapshot, and I was like, oh, should I watch it? Like, haven't yet, but I don't know where I was going with that. It's just kind of that sharing that love and that passion. And then I remember him coming home, I want to start a YouTube channel. It's like, he's like, Dad, you have a YouTube channel for your thing. Can you kind of show me? I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know. Like, is this good? You gotta
Right.
talk with your mom. It's the whole idea of having your kid on the social media piece. But it's definitely a changing world in the sense that me being a teacher too, you still have to be able to relate with them, or your job's
100%.
awful. And
Absolutely.
so it's kept me youthful, I guess, and young. And I think punk has done that as well. If we bring it back to that kind of idea, is that there's that kind of that youth kind of piece. Although a lot of the bands I listen to are 50, 60-year-old still rocking,
Right. Yeah.
but they still have that. In what ways has fatherhood changed you?
Everywhere. Everywhere. It was instantaneous. I'm not a big video game guy. My wife is a she is a game developer with BioWare here in Edmonton, so she works on like the Dragon Age games and that. She's a huge video game yeah, that's her job essentially. And now my son is also into video games. And the way that I describe it both to them is I held him for the first time, and it was that like achievement unlocked, right? Like that there was that dad that was inside of me the whole time that I got maybe nature hardwired into me, click, opened up. And it was the best. It's the I love what fatherhood has done for me. I feel like I'm the best version of myself. Maybe not physically. I could take a lot better care of myself, but that's more my job as opposed to parenthood. I feel like I am the best version of myself when I am being Brendan's dad and Crystal's husband. And that's just it's no, nothing in my life has brought me that much unparalleled joy. There hasn't been a record, there hasn't been a movie, there hasn't been a sports anything. I cheer for a lot of shitty teams anyways, but like I haven't had that. This is it's just such an overwhelming sense of like, oh, this is where I belong, this is my place, this is my thing that I was meant to do. I think a lot of that comes too from, and one of the biggest changes for me was I was always a very career-driven person. I got into radio when I was about 20 years old. I'm 45 now. I always say like my 20s are a blur. Like I remember meeting Crystal, my wife, and then all of a sudden it was 5 years later. Like it was, I worked, I worked, I worked. I was at work. I was working evenings, I was working bar gigs, I was working just whatever you can to sort of like to get your reps in, to get better on the radio, which I mean you could argue maybe I am and maybe I'm not, right? Like I don't know. I think my longevity speaks for itself more than anything else on my resume, but it was just that work, 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 move, go across the country, move here, move there, do this, do that, always get ahead. Until I finally got to that point where I was like, okay, I think I'm in a good enough pocket here that I can maybe try this fatherhood thing. I didn't become a dad until I was 37 years old, which is, I mean, you know, a lot of my friends in the 20s were like, oh, get it over with now. Get it over with now. And I'm like, get what over with? Like, I'll do it when I feel like this is the time, right? And yeah, it was it was an immediate paradigm shift from living my life to achieve at work and have that career. And you know, you realize pretty quickly that like the career is just, it's just a series of goalposts moving. Oh, you've done this? Well, have you ever been, I don't know, like, okay, now you have a radio show. Are you the number one radio show? No, we're number three. One pays better than three. Okay, I guess. Well, what if I get to be the number one show? Do you have a syndicated radio show? Because syndicated pays better than number one. Like, there's always just this, like, never-ending cycle of, like, do more, get better, you know, and eventually at some point you just have to go, I can only achieve with what's in within my means, otherwise I'm going to kill myself trying to do everything, right? And so the moment Brendan came into my life, it was just this synaptic response in my head, like a little, I don't care about that anymore. I care about this now, this human being that my wife and I are holding, this is what I care about. So, you know, it makes me legit emotional when I think about it, because he changed my life in so many beautiful ways. He changed my wife and I's relationship. And just, you know, to have that, like, we did this and it's bringing us so much joy. Like, it's, that's incredibly special. So, yeah, that's how he changed me. And every single day, it's just been, it doesn't stop being fun. It gets more and more fun. And I know that may be an atypical reaction for a lot of people, but like, that's really how it's been for me. It's been great the entire time. I also would just like to note, I realize that I'm using my wife's Harry Potter mug. Please don't endorse and take this as any sort of endorsement of J.K. Rowling or her bullshit. I just grab whatever mug is in there. I don't like Harry Potter. I don't like J.K. Rowling. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Sorry, I've been up since 4 a.m.
There we go. I'll have to get you a Rad Dad's mug. We have Rad Dad's mug.
I would love one. That'd be great.
I'll give you, give me 2 seconds. I'll show it.
Beautiful.
For next time.
Oh man, that's perfect. Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
I'll get you one for sure. No, thanks for sharing that. No, that's it's heartfelt. You know, it does get better. You know, like I said, my, you know, son's 13 and 14, and then every year it gets older. It's just, yeah, just unique, you know, like when they get to that age, so, you know, sharing passions and stuff like that. For
sure,
example,
yeah.
Last year, you know, we went out to Las Vegas and went to a game, a hockey game on the Friday night, went to the punk rock museum.
Oh wow, right on.
Got to meet Noodles from Offspring. He's a big Offspring fan, so that was rad. And then
it's not insignificant. That's kind of a legendary dude, right?
And then,
you know, it strikes me though, as we're saying this out loud, that like, I do want to clarify though, if there is a dad who's listening to us talk this way and is not feeling those feelings, and or maybe is trying to feel those feelings, or you know, like, listen. There is no blueprint for what it is to be a dad. Every human being is different. Every family is different. Every child is different. They all need a different set of skills to be nurtured. So like, I certainly hope, like, I don't want to come across as though I'm like, I'm bragging or like, well, my life's great because I have a kid. But like, I just want to say to dads out there who are struggling, if you are struggling, it's totally okay to struggle. And this is why I believe a podcast like this is so wonderful, is to know that like, it'll get better. And there are certainly tools and resources out there for you to, you know, there are other dads who are feeling that way. And no, there is no right or wrong experience with it. So long as you get to, you know, write your ending, like it's some silly meme, but like, that's the common goal, is a happy father and a happy child, I think. And if that doesn't always happen, it's not always smooth sailing, and that's okay.
Oh yeah, and part of my language, but it's fucking hard. I get
Yeah,
that.
it's really
So,
fucking hard. It is.
like I always like to just be kind to yourself, and this is why we do the show. I've had a handful of people come up to me and say, "Hey, your podcast has changed my life," and to me, it's like, okay, like that's a pretty bold statement. It's like,
Huge.
oh, really? Like it really did. And so I'm honored by that. And I also get, emails who are through like my website or like Rad Dads Edmonton weekly on a weekly basis, like, hey, I'm struggling. Like, do you have some resources? And so we've created a resource page for dads. There's definitely a lack of resources for fathers and dads.
Oh, big time. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why like Rad Dads Edmonton is kind of, I guess it's sustained itself in that sense, and that I feel like I need to kind of keep going a little bit and just.
Oh, there's a whole lot of walking left to do, man. There is a ton of walking left. Like, a great example of that is like when I, something I hadn't noticed before I became a dad. How many change tables do you see in a men's room? Like a men's gender specific bathroom, zilch. And I would, my wife and I would be out and I'd have to say like, listen, I hate to saddle you with this duty, but like, there's quite literally nowhere there is not even a flat surface in the men's room for me to like, and this is not in a place where like, oh, there's no change table in this strip club or something like that. I'm talking at like a Toys R Us or like a Walmart or a grocery store. You go into the men's bathroom, forget it, man. There is nowhere for you to change your kid. Like it's the that should be almost academic that men and women or any gender has whatever bathroom you're using, you should absolutely have a place to change a child. But we'll get there.
Yeah, we will. You're right. I've changed. When Kingston, he's my oldest, was younger. I think he's getting better, but it was younger. Like there was probably a few bathroom floors that I had to change him on because there was nowhere else to do. What's going on here?
Where are you gonna do it, right? Yeah.
And that's how I actually feel about. And this is why we do some of the events that we do, like for Rad Dads is there's I don't know if ageist is the word, but I find it difficult, or what did I find it difficult to do things that I liked to do without having my kid. A lot of those things, like shows, for example, there's a lot less all ages shows that are happy or happened. I think they're kind of coming back again, but the things like that's why we do kind of those events. I wanted always to kind of do an event or do something and have my kid present, and it's not
Sure.
always the case. There's a lot of times there's a lot of alcohol involved, and for various reasons, I understand that. Businesses want to make money, but that's kind of why we do some of those events, is to kind of encourage that. But
Well, it allows them, and it's cool to have that because it allows them one foot in the door to understanding the absolute thrill of going to a 5 o'clock in the afternoon all ages punk show when you turn 14, 15 years old for the first time by yourself. You're gonna go there knowing, okay, there's a certain amount of etiquette that goes along with this, whether you want to admit it or not, punk unquote unquote. But there is, and there might be guys there who are gonna act like total dicks. And there might be guys there who are gonna act like dicks to the girls that you're with, or your gay friends, or your trans friends. And that's just sort of something that comes along. Pardon, I'm not saying that that's what what you're attracting at your shows, but like that there is a bit of that. There's a wonderful element of danger there that they get to experience for the first time. If you've got them the training wheels of going to a really safe, awesome, respectable place for that, they'll know how to react once they are in a maybe more hostile experience at a punk show, right? Because unfortunately, that is kind of the world we live in. Nothing's going to be this perfect utopia of us all holding hands. And I don't know, like I always want my son to know that like everybody deserves respect, right? And that's a great thing about what you do is that this is, again, Training Wheels Punk Show is phenomenal, especially when your kid is singing Nervous Breakdown with you. What is it about Black Flag that's just like awesome when you're four, awesome when you're 40? Like, it's the most primal thing in the universe, hey?
It's our the very first dad religion show. My friend Braden, he helped start Rad Dads with me, and he's the bassist in the band. And his mom came, and she made a comment on her Facebook after that show. I never thought I'd see the day where I saw a toddler mosh pit. And so we've embraced that, I think, on our Facebook page. I put, we specialize in toddler.
This is what we do, right? I love it.
Did you have any fears about being a dad?
I did. Yeah. I now know that I can navigate it. But prior to, I had a lot of I was very lucky. I had a lot of dads to talk to. And I realize that's not the same with everybody, but peers in my peer group, dads that I could talk to. Again, going back to the old Irish Catholic thing, my parents divorced when I was four. My mom and dad both remarried when I was quite young, and I had a bit of a tempestuous relationship, I suppose, with my stepfather. It's better now that we're, adults and we can talk about it, but at the time he was a early 40s guy who had been, virtually single. He doesn't have any other children. And then he meets me and my mom, and I'm 12 years old, and I'm coming into my own, and I'm finding out who I am, and what art I like, and what I want to be as a person, and how to project myself. And we just did not, for a decade plus, did not get along. Like, we did not have any common ground to stand on. And that was really tough because my father and I, like my birth dad, had a good relationship in as much that he was kind of party dad. He'd pick me up every second weekend and take me to go see Ferris Bueller's Day Off and let me have an entire can of Coke and stay up late to watch Saturday Night's Main Event. Like, that was, he was party dad. He was good times. And I don't begrudge him that. He only got to see me every 2 weeks. So it was, let's cram. Yes, we can go for lunch at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, he was just that dad because he was there every 2 weeks. And then my mom sort of got settled with the other side of it, where she was like, I got to keep the wheels of commerce turning here. Like, I have to be the one that gets you out of bed in the morning and you go to school and you, that kind of thing. So when my stepdad came into my life, I wouldn't say I was aching for a like father figure, but like, I really needed a strong male presence at the time to sort of guide me through, you're going through puberty, you're becoming a 12, 13, 14 year old boy. These are the opinions that I hold. These are the facts that I believe to be true. This is a band I really like. This is the way I want to dress. This is how I want to, and I didn't have that from him. I didn't have that from him at all. He didn't under like, you can't wear makeup, you're a boy. Yeah, I can. Why can't I? Why can't I wear nail polish? And then, they didn't have nail polish on the prairies in the 1950s or 60s, I guess, right? So like, that's where we had this disconnect of like, he didn't understand that I was really stretching my legs and trying to find myself. And so that scared me, that I would have that somehow baked into me, that when I had a child, something would come along where I'd go like, well, it wasn't like that when I grew up. But you pretty quickly realize, I think, that again, this goes back to what we were talking about before. The art that you consume, and the niches that you're involved in, and the scenes and communities that you get involved with, that's not going to happen. And I didn't know that until I literally held my son and realized, oh, okay, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm absolutely not going to be that guy, to the point that I will actively encourage him to. Like, I've always said, like, I'm not a huge guy when it comes to, like, I'm not a big hockey guy. I'm sorry, I'm just not a huge hockey dude. But I've always been like, you should learn how to skate. It would be good to learn how to skate. And if you want to play hockey, like, go nuts. No, I'm not, kind of not into it. Like, whatever. Like, but I just want you to have everything. If you want to learn dance, equestrian, guitar, hockey, football, like, I just want everything on the menu to be able for you to order. I kind of didn't have that, and it caused me to rebel a little bit, but it also caused me to it, it, it and it goes back to that punk thing. fuck me? No, fuck you and fuck you twice as hard. And I'm really going to show, you know what I mean? I think a lot of my achievement in my life has come from the fact that I wanted good things for myself and I wanted good things when I eventually had a family, but it didn't come from a place of like, well, we didn't have that growing up, so hopefully we have it when I grow, like that kind of thing. Which it's great, but a lot of it came from a place of like anger. A lot of it came from a place of being told like, nah, you're not going to amount to much. I'm not? I'll fucking show you how much I'm not going to not amount to anything? Nah, come on. And that's really, that's good for motivation. That's a great motivator, that fire inside of you, it drives you. But at the same time, like, that's a really unhealthy place to be. Like, wow, you did really good. You must be really proud of that. Yeah, I really fucking shoved it down my dad's throat. Like, yikes, man. That's scary, right? So yeah, that was what I was worried I was going to pass on to my son. And that scared the hell out of me, man. It does not that it doesn't scare me now. It's just that I'm aware of it. I'm cognizant of it. Whenever I, you know, if I catch myself with, you know, the sins of the father, that kind of thing, if I catch myself ever veering into that lane, I can pretty much self-correct now and know, like, no, I should probably, you know, don't be what your dad did, right? That kind of thing. So yeah, that was scary as hell. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was terrified. You know, just a lot of these questions I kind of conjured up way back when was more for me, I think. It was almost therapeutic in the early goings of this podcast. Cause I, you know, my dad wasn't around. My dad actually committed suicide about 20 some years ago. And just what really wasn't around, you know, raised by my mom, single mom, three kids. And, you know, my grandpa or my Guido was around, but, you know, he passed away. So I never really, and then there was a stepdad that kind of came into to play, but we had a relatively good relationship at points, but he was an alcoholic and all of the decisions that I've done, I think, are to be exactly like opposite of them, of my parents. Maybe that's, I don't know, maybe is it the anger kind of piece, but it's also, you know, you talk about being cognizant of those things. So I kind of catch myself sometimes. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm acting exactly how my stepdad would. Whoa, let's slow on the brakes and then have.
It's good to know that though. It's good to have that self-awareness, right?
Sure. And having, you know, my first kid, I was terrified. I remember being at the hospital. I had no idea what to do. It was like, you know, my ex now, you know, she's like, go get they said we could take him away, take him home. And so I didn't know how to, this is how ridiculous it sounds. I didn't know how to get the car seat up. Like I couldn't figure out in her car.
How would you know?
She installed it. She was part of, you know, she was working with children at that time. It was in her car. She installed it. I didn't really even think about it. And I brought the whole thing up, base and everything. And the nurse just looks at me. I'm like, oh my God, like in my head, she thinks I'm like, so I remember begging my brother to come over just to have someone around. Like, can you please, I'll buy you pizza. Can you please come over?
Yeah, exactly.
But,
exactly.
You know, but it's also like that switch you mentioned, it just kind of kicks in. It's just super interesting, right? To me, at least.
Absolutely. That it's something that it manifests itself, again, organically, completely naturally, I think.
Yeah. Last couple questions here. Last one, two more questions.
Okay. What's
the most rewarding aspect of being a dad?
There's a lot. I think it's very rewarding when he understands how much I love him completely, how much I am proud of him. It's incredibly rewarding to know that our conversations that we have a ton of gravity with him, right? Whereas, you know, I kind of felt a lot of times as a kid, like, I love you, like, okay, yeah, you love me, whatever, you have to say that. I truly feel that Brendan, when I tell him I love him, He feels it in his bones, because I know that he knows he's got a support group behind him that begins on the foundation of his mom and dad, who are, at the risk of being, oh, lovers, but like we're madly in love with one another, and we're madly in love with him. And I think he understands that that bedrock is there. So incredibly rewarding for me to talk to him and for him to hear it and for him to feel it, and vice versa. When he tells me he loves me, it's not just because I bought him a new pair of sneakers or something like that, right? Like that's that having that communication is something that, again, not this, I don't want to shit all over my parents or anything or my upbringing, but like I didn't have that. I don't know if I've ever really had that with my parents outside of adulthood when we were really on sort of much more common ground. For him to have that at a young age, I think that's something that I might have been lacking, where I was, okay, I can go out there, and even if I fall flat on my face trying something new, no one's going to give a shit because they're going to make me feel like I did okay and I tried. For him to, that's incredibly rewarding to know that he's at that stage at the age of 7.
Do you find it? I said I was going to be the last question, but did you find it hard? You kind of already commented that you're just a great communicator already, and just kind of natural. Obviously, it's kind of provided you a success in your work. So, but like I'm kind of similar. Like I had my parents around for the most part, but we didn't have those conversations. The communication really wasn't there, and I find sometimes I struggle a little bit to have those kind of conversations with my kids. Did you ever find that was hard, or were you simply like, I don't want to be like my parents, I'm gonna.
Yeah, it's definitely an effort. There's a this is For a frame of reference, there's a fantastic episode of King of the Hill where, and I mean, like, Hank is, the typical conservative dad, where he has to admit that he doesn't want to be alone with his son Bobby, who's kind of, the artsy kind of, theater kid. He doesn't want to be alone with him, not because he's doesn't understand him or he's scared of him. He doesn't know how to talk to him. He doesn't know how to make small talk with his kid, right? So I think that that's something that a lot of people maybe have a hard time dealing with. I don't know if I ever did, and I don't know if I do. A lot of what comes from having sort of a public persona in my line of work is the beauty of silence is the fact that when I get home, I don't necessarily have to be a center of attention. I don't necessarily have to be keeping the conversation moving, which is sort of a social anxiety that I certainly feel if I go to a pub or if I go to, I'm not trying to be the center of attention. It's just that I am often, for better or for worse, expected to be the engine of a social outing, right? I am the driver. And that's okay. Like, listen, that's probably my strongest suit in life, and that's certainly the life that I've chose for myself. But it does get exhausting. So we really have a wonderful thing in this family where we mean what we say and we say what we mean, which sounds like a greeting card thing, but like I didn't find it hard to talk to him because everything that he was saying or I was saying to him was not filtered through my career. And if I can be selfish and talk about that for a bit, he absolutely knows that what he hears me say on the radio and who he gets at home are two completely different people. Like they're, when I'm at work, I'm working, I'm doing a job, I'm selling you on my radio station. I am virtually in sales. I'm selling you me, and I'm selling you my radio station. I think the best way to do that is to be as genuine and authentic as you can possibly be. But by the same token, Christian, I didn't start our conversation by telling you what the temperature is and what time it is and what, you're on Zoom, it's 8:45. My name's McCord, like that kind of thing. That's not how it goes. So I think that he knows he's getting a different version of me than maybe the one that I put out there. And I think that's really special because there are a lot of people in my industry who go home and are that guy, who are like, oh, you just did something funny. Maybe we can make a video of it in a TikTok and it might go viral. And I barely even put pictures of my child up on anything that I have online simply because I'm just so protective of that's his agency. And when he wants to do that, he can do it on his own time, right? I don't. I find that the moments that him and I share and my wife and I share and everything are very incredibly special, and I want those to be for us. I don't want them to be for everybody. And I feel as the more days go by in my career, I feel like I'm alone in that, because I see people really living their lives online, and I you can have some access to me, but you can't have everything. And so that's why it's wonderful to have something like this where I'm able to talk freely about the things that I love and the music that I love and the art that I love and how it relates to me being a father, because I certainly can't do this on my radio station. Like, and that's not a knock against what I do for a living, but like, I can't go on a commercial radio station in Edmonton and talk about how much I like Black Flag. That's just not a thing. That's not a thing. It's not what it is. And that's the funny thing is, I got into it because I was like, what will be, how can I get paid to talk about music? How can I get paid to listen and talk and everything about music, right? Like that kind of thing. I could be a journalist, but back in 2001, that seemed to be a little bit like, well, if everything's moving online and blah, 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 I know the radio. And then you get into radio, and within 5 minutes in radio, you go like, oh, this is dick jokes. It's like, think about at the time, like at that time, at the drive-in and Relationship of Command have just come out, and I was crazy about that record. And I was just like, man, if they would just like, if we could play One Arm Scissor on the radio once, and I could talk to people about like why this band is so important and everything that they're saying and doing right now is just the explosion of this punk thing that's been bubbling up for so long. And then you quickly realize that like no program director wants that from you. They want the fucking Friday morning fart song or whatever, right? Like that kind of thing. So what I do for a living is fun, and I have a great time, and I'm certainly not poo-pooing what I do. I love it. But by the same token, the paradigm shift that happens when I come home and I talk to my son is that it's a different voice, it's a different inflection, it's everything is different. My whole work is stripped away. So that's when I can truly be myself, I guess. Is when I'm talking to him. That's a wonderful privilege.
Yeah, it's this inherent need of people to broadcast their life is something I've been thinking a lot about lately, and thinking about my role and what I have put out on social media and stuff. I've definitely kind of scaled back and dialed back because yeah, it's like I don't know, I just don't care anymore.
I don't care anymore, and I think they're repeat. See, social media was wonderful back in, the Stone Age of the internet in like the late 90s, early 9/11 era, where you could use a message board, especially if you were into punk or you were into, any kind of weird music or any sort of very niche scene. You could find other people who were like you. And it wasn't necessarily that you were looking for attention. It was that you were looking for a lifeline. The entire time you were going like, Christ, there has to be somebody else who loves this band as much as I do. And it doesn't matter who they are or what walk of life they come from. I just want to talk to someone for whom this music, gives them the same emotional charge. And from that seed of, oh, a wonderful global community, a global village comes whatever we have now, where it's just so, I don't know, there's so much as a member of the media, there is so much emotional manipulation and performative emotion too, where, like, do you mean everything that you're saying? There's no way you can mean what you're saying right now. Like, this is all just for serving the purpose of attention, right? And to back you up, like, I think what you're doing with this podcast and with Rad Dads, this is the complete opposite of that, because as opposed to making it all about yourself, this is about becoming being a father, how it changes you, what it becomes. Like, this is a resource that men need, I think, as opposed to we put 100 fucking Roman candles in our heads and blew them out and like that kind of thing, right? There's so, I don't know. I think it's good. At least I'm seeing it with my son and a few of the kids his age. They have that media savvy to look at what's happening on YouTube and go, this is real. This is bullshit. Right. I'm shocked. I think it's more about the people in our generation who are in their 30s or 40s who don't have that syntax to know, like, you are being manipulated by this person online. You are only seeing the good parts of who they are. Like, it's a whole nother conversation for another time.
Totally, but
again, that's something as a dad that you have to be aware of when you're raising these children in this new online world, that they got to know what's real and they got to know what's BS, man, because there is so much BS out there. But
yeah, like, and if I look at like Rad Dads to be, you know, like in social media, Instagram. So Rad Dads was started with three of us, my friend Braden and my friend Nigel. He's the one that does all the graphic design. I met him through Instagram and our love of SNFU and punk records. Like, he was doing this SNFU kind of graphic thing and poster that he made. And I was like, oh, hey, like, I love this band. And he's like, oh, I'm making a poster. I'm from Edmonton. Hey, so am I. Like, let's go for a beer. And we were just out for beers the other day. That was, you know, almost 10 years ago. And we're like good friends that we've created with community. So there is, you know, there is the positive of that social media. You know, I've met a lot of good friends via, you know, my love of punk and punk records. I have a big record, you know, punk collection, and like to share them online and you kind of, you know, the whole thing. Anyways.
Dude, that's all my Instagram is. That's my Instagram is just, hey, check it out. Rare press of this. Like, yeah, man. That's what it should be, though. That's what it should be. That's what I want to see from other people.
I've spent way too much money on this record, but
yeah, exactly. But now that I have it, part of me is whole. So that's all about it.
Still searching. Last question, Cord. Any advice or any words of wisdom to any new dads out there?
Oh, man. Every cliche is true. All the cliches are all, there are so many cliches are true about it being like, it's fast. It goes quickly. It doesn't stop. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. So, you know, take the moments to enjoy it. Be present and just sort of go, okay, right? Because it does go quickly. The next thing you know, I feel like Brendan was born 5 minutes ago and now he's getting prepped for grade two. That's bonkers. That's...
Yeah, man. my oldest going into grade 9, almost high school. So, yeah. Let's embrace it.
No, I'm not ready. That and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. There's always another dad out there who is more than willing to give you a hand up, probably. So, yeah.
Awesome. Good to see that. Thanks, man.
All right, that was Scott McCord from 100.3 The Bear. Thank you so much, McCord, for joining us. And I want to thank you for listening. Please share this episode, share our posts on social media, tell your friends, or hey, drop us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. I promise it'll only take a second, but it'll mean so much to us. And if you take something away from an episode or from this episode, let us know. We love hearing those stories as well. And if you're looking for more interviews with more rad dads, check out our back catalog of episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media. On Instagram, you can find us at @rad_dads_show, and on Facebook and Twitter and TikTok @raddadsshow. You can also head over to YouTube to watch all these interviews as well. Wherever you're watching or listening, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That really helps us. Last, Rad Dads is first and foremost a community organization aimed to achieve three things: positive parenting, the empowerment of dads, and building community. You can check out what we do over at raddadsyeg.com. That's raddadsyeg.com. Thanks for tuning in. In the meantime and in between time, stay rad.